I have a prepared statement. Hold on. I'm ready to enter it into the public record.
All right.
Come here, big tits. Come here, big tits. Your tits belong to me. Give them to me. I want to claim my tits. I want to claim my tits. I want to claim my tits. These are my tits.
Oh, God damn it.
Such were the words of America's mayor, Rudolph Giuliani.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Giuliani.
Oh, yeah, he's fucking alcoholic. He's fucking burning red. Welcome to the Raincoat Report. And, boss, I want to claim my tits.
No, they're my tits.
They're my tits, and I want them now. So far, all I know is they've released a transcript. If they do release the audio of that, I'm going to absolutely need you to clip it for my board.
We're going to have a 30-second sample on the board.
You can just, like, break it up into chunks. You break it up, you know.
I don't know if that's the right move.
when I see a pair of knockers that I like, it'll be a nice relief from...
Wow, look at those tits.
Yeah.
The ones that sound even better coming out of the mouth of like a 78-year-old man.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. It's a beautiful world we live in, just like Devo said.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
Speaking of beautiful worlds, welcome to the world of the Raincoat Report with Boss and Jeremy. Did I already do that?
No, but good. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah. Today, we are in a wonderful world of a man that we've covered multiple films by, and this is not like those films in many ways. Today, we are talking about another film by Roger Watkins, director of such classics.
You're right.
Directors of such classics as Corruption and Her Name Was Lisa and The Last House on Dead End Street.
Mm-hmm. We have not covered on this show because it's not a pornographic film.
No, not really, but it is a wild film.
It certainly is. Did they ever do like a final like Blu-ray release of it, or is it still just like a secret feature?
No, it's just a secret bonus feature on the Vinegar Syndrome release of Corruption.
Bummer.
But, it's quite something.
It sure is.
But this is a film.
It's a less serious affair.
It is. This is The Pink Ladies, directed by Roger Watkins and written by Roger Watkins, from 1979.
Which is, I think, a little bit earlier than the other ones we've covered.
Her Name Was Lisa came out before this.
Oh, was it? Okay.
But Corruption came out later.
Yeah, I know Corruption was an 80s film. I thought Her Name Was Lisa was like 1980, but, I'm down to be wrong.
Yeah, it was 76, I believe. So.
Okay, that makes sense. That explains why all the terrible stuff happened in it.
Yeah. Actually... It was released in 1979, the same year as The Pink Lady, so maybe it was before or after, but it was around the same time.
Interesting. Okay.
But, yeah, so in this film, we do have some people that we've seen before.
This is sort of like a companion film, in a sense.
I guess.
I don't fucking know, man.
But we've got, in this film, we've got Samantha Fox. We've got Robin Bird, Christine DeShaffer, Marlene Willoughby, Robert Kerman, a.k.a. Arbola, Ron Hudd, we've seen before, Michael Gaunt, who was in Corruption, Vanessa Del Rio, of course.
Who's been in every Roger Watkins film we've covered.
Yeah. Dave Ruby.
Dave Rubin, the producer?
No, Dave Ruby, who was in...
Jack Ruby, the man who shot Lee Harvey Oswald?
Dave Ruby, who was in multiple scenes in the one... what was it? The Afternoon Delights.
Oh, yes.
And serial alleged and/or convicted sex predator Ron Jeremy?
I didn't expect him 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah. Well, this week he has a wonderful talent to show everybody.
Yeah.
One that we haven't covered on the show before.
No, it's something to behold. I just got to say, though, like, if you're, like, covering porn from, like, say, 1979 until 1995-ish, you're running a risk of running into Ron Jeremy, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, just watch out. Protect your holes.
Viewer beware.
Yes, you're in for a scare.
Yeah, and perhaps more.
Yes. So, as we've kind of covered, this isn't nearly as bleak of an affair as either Her Name Was Lisa or Corruption. There is some atmospheric stuff here and there in here, and there's some fantasies and dreams, but most of them are not nearly as sinister as the stuff in those movies.
Yeah, they're the stuff that dreams are made of.
They sure are. But here we get the tale of four ladies who are friends, but they are not really that pleasant of people, it becomes evident throughout the film.
They're more of like a social clique.
Yes.
Than I would say friends. But as you said, that will become evident.
But, and we get to see what they do during the day and what their husbands have to deal with.
Yeah. And, how they spend their nights.
And what everybody's fantasies are.
Yeah, a lot of fantasies in this one.
Yeah. And let's live out our fantasies.
Okay. My fantasy is that I get to do I'm on a bucket and I'm pooping into it and I'm watching people through a one-way mirror.
Okay. What are they doing on the other side of the one-way mirror?
It doesn't matter.
Okay. Fair enough. You're just like in a JCPenney's and like a little room with a one-way mirror.
Yeah. I'm like
just pooping away.
Yeah. I'm just pooping in there and just watching people. It's my dream job. Bonk of the week. That goes to me.
Well, Tyler's been trying to get a new job. Maybe we can hook him up with that one.
Oh, man. That would be good. He could take my old job and I could do that.
Or we could do that. Yeah.
What if it was just me and Tyler watching each other poop in mirrors?
Each of you is in a little room with a one-way mirror, but you're watching each other on the other side of the mirror.
Yeah.
Well, it's a shame Tyler isn't here. We could ask him what his fantasy is.
Yeah, he would have something interesting to say for sure.
But he's not here, so we'll have to leave that to our fantasies.
Yeah, it'll...
That's my fantasy, is Tyler telling me what his fantasy is.
I guess you could do worse.
All right. Well, my fantasy right now is for us to take a quick break and then us to come back and talk a little bit more about the Pink Ladies.
Oh, that's mine too.
So let's make our fantasies come true, baby.
Okay. Oh, boy. Listeners,
we're back.
Yeah, we came back. And Boss is going to tell us about the Pink Ladies, and there are, what'd you say, four of them?
Yes.
You want to tell us about them?
Yes. Well, let's start by talking about the film itself, and we'll talk about the ladies as we get into it.
All right.
We open with some synthy trumpets blaring triumphantly as we get our title card for the Pink Ladies and credits over a foggy background. We cut from there to some ladies playing racquetball.
Yeah, not quite the level of credits as last week's features.
No, they don't really have the same
word art. Yeah, the same effect.
No, but we quickly move on from the credits here. We spend less time on it, especially since we didn't have quite as wonderful and topical theme music as we did before.
Yeah, there's nothing to shout about. Best just move on.
But we cut from there to ladies playing racquetball as a man watches on, as more rock inspired music kicks in. The man watching, I'll go ahead and introduce as the voyeur, as he's credited, played by Ron Hudd.
See, I thought he was a coach or something.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he has that role, but more importantly,
yeah,
he's watching.
Yeah, for our purposes, yes. He's the voyeur.
So we see four ladies playing racquetball, and they are our Pink Ladies. They are Lori, played by Samantha Fox, Kay, played by Candy Barber, Leslie, played by Christine DeShaffer, and Jane, played by Robin Bird. Lori's team wins this racquetball contest.
I don't know.
This racquetball game, if you will.
Do you know how racquetball works?
I don't know. I assume it plays like tennis, but I don't know the differences.
I didn't see a net.
I thought there was. I don't know. Maybe there's not.
I didn't see no damn net.
Okay, I believe you. I wasn't paying close attention.
Yeah, it doesn't. But it turns out it doesn't matter.
No, it isn't too relevant to the plot.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be like kind of like a hot racket situation where it kind of revolved around the racquetball court, but it's just a little some hors d'oeuvre.
Yeah, it's just a little opening we get here.
An appetizer.
Yes.
A snack.
But Lori's team wins and Kay is pissy about it. She suggests that for the next game, Lori should have to partner with Leslie and let her team with Jane. Because they had opposite partners in this game. And apparently Leslie is no good. Lori says sure, if she thinks that matters. Lori says that she needs a shower, and the ladies walk off as the creepy voyeur watches them. We watch the ladies shower, and they talk about Lori having been playing for a long time. Leslie tells the other ladies that it doesn't matter who wins as long as they're having fun. No one but Lori agrees, and of course Lori won anyway.
Yeah, and everyone pretty much just agrees Leslie's kind of like a rube.
Yes.
They're all just laughing at her.
Yes, she is the target of much abuse in this clique.
Yeah, I kind of get it. She's the, who's the one you hate?
Leslie.
Oh, yeah.
She's the Leslie of the group.
Yeah.
So we see Ron Hudd, our voyeur, peek around the corner, watching Leslie in the shower. He pulls down his tennis shorts and whips out his cock and just starts to tug away as Leslie is soaping up her bush and butt.
And he's really risking it all.
Yes, he is. He's really pulling at it for a bit, and we cut to what happens to be his fantasy here, where he's watching the four ladies playing racquetball once again, but he and the ladies are all naked.
Yeah.
The music gets distorted and weird, and we see a bunch of balls flying through the air and hitting Leslie, while the other three ladies, Lori, Kay, and Jane, all surround the voyeur and start to touch on his body.
Wouldn't this be better if he was on the other side of a two-way mirror sitting on a bucket?
Perhaps. Kay gets down and starts to suck on the voyeur's cock in this fantasy. Leslie's on the other side of the room, continuing to have balls blasted towards her. Apparently, even the voyeur, who's actually staring at Leslie at this point, thinks that she is the least important member of the group.
Yeah, well, you know, he's got like a humiliation kind of thing going, maybe. And that's like also, maybe that's what's turning them on, is just seeing her blasted with these balls.
Perhaps.
You know, that's what gets his hog turning.
Oh, yeah.
That's what gets the hog running.
Hogs aren't supposed to turn.
No, they're supposed to run.
Lori and Jane join Kay sucking the voyeur's cock, and they make out a bit amongst themselves. We get a lot of close-ups of lips on tips. We then see the voyeur laying on the ground as the ladies are all propped up around him, and they take turns mounting his cock.
It's a good thing he imagined this blanket to lay on.
Yeah. They make out more, and we fade back into the present, where the voyeur paints a locker with his cum.
Yeah, he just fucking,
It's gonna pop.
He just fucking drops a load on that locker. Maybe it's Leslie's locker.
Maybe.
She probably came back to it, and she's like, oh, what's this? Ooh.
So, yeah. We then cut to the ladies in the bathroom, and we get this scene where they're all talking to each other, but we see their legs and their panties around their, legs as they're in the bathroom.
Yeah, they're on the toilet.
But importantly, I was watching with the subtitles on.
Uh-huh.
And at the very beginning of the scene, there is a, you know, it's for the deaf and hard of hearing. So it describes sound effects, and it described a sound effect as quote unquote very rude fart.
Yeah, that's how I would describe it. Leslie beeps it.
One of them asks what they're doing tomorrow, and Lori has to be reminded that they decided that Wednesday is theater day. Leslie says that she's already gotten them tickets to see a comedy. Or, well, she's not sure if it's a comedy. It's Eugene O'Neill's The Iceman Cometh. Lori notes, have you ever heard of someone named Eugene who could write anything but a comedy? Kay says that if she had a niece as pretty as Lori's and a husband as horny as Lori's, she wouldn't be in a hurry to leave the house. The conversation trails off and they flush and leave.
Mm-hmm.
We cut to an apartment where we get introduced to Lori's husband and niece.
What if that whole scene had just been just like ripping farts the whole time?
But they were all sitting on buckets?
Well, no, they don't have to be on buckets necessarily, but
looking at each other through one-way mirrors.
You know, I think the scene is good as it is. But they're having the same conversation, but they're all just ripping it the whole time. It would be a lot funnier.
Yes, it would be.
But a bucket would be great.
So we see Bert played by Arbola or Robert Kerman, and he's got a baseball game on and he's looking at the paper, but the whole time he's peeking over at the niece played by Mickey Manos across the room, who's making out with her boyfriend played by Rick Iverson. Bert's nervously peeking at the makeout session the whole time, but it's worth noting that Mickey, the niece, is also glaring back at him quite a bit. After a bit, we hear the door shut, and Bert calls out asking if it's Lori, and it is. He asks if she's coming in there, and she says, yeah, in a minute. So Bert glances over to Mickey, and she and her boyfriend walk off together, and Bert takes off in another direction. We then watch as Mickey and her boyfriend walk into a bedroom and undress as Bert is peeping through the window, and a Copacabana knockoff is playing.
Mm-hmm.
As Rick pulls out his cock, it makes a cartoon boing sound.
We had that one.
And Bert presses his face against the window and pushes the hat up on his head. Mickey sucks Rick's cock a bit, and they shift into a kind of sideways 69 on the bed as they play with each other's genitals a bit before Rick mounts Mickey missionary and starts to fuck her. After banging her for a minute or so, he pulls out and she strokes out a load of cum from his cock. We then fade in on the fantasy scene of Bert as he's watching this, and it's Bert and Mickey in bed together. She's naked and he's still in his Yankee gear, and indeed stops for a moment, scared that the Yankee game might be on, but it isn't yet.
Thank God.
So they make out and he fingers her a bit before she mounts him reverse cowgirl. She slides up and down his cock for a while. She dismounts after a bit and strokes his cock, making him come on her hand and in her mouth. The fantasy is abruptly interrupted by Leslie, who's shown up, says, "Hi, Bert," asking why he's out there in the moonlight, although this is clearly in the day.
Yeah.
She then adds that she doesn't know why she's out there, and then remembers that she had to return a cup of sugar she borrowed from Lori. As she's chatting, Bert uses his hat to block Leslie's view through the window, as Mickey, still nude, approaches the window, laughing as she's watching Bert try to deal with the situation. Leslie's rambling on about how when her husband and her got together, they used to sing to each other in the moonlight, and she starts to sing very off-key and poorly as Bert wanders off.
It's kind of wailing away.
Yes. We then cut to some carnival footage on the TV, some stock footage. And then we cut to see that it's Jane watching the TV. She's in bed, shoveling popcorn into her mouth and dropping a lot of it on the bed. She's rambling on about the girls and all of the gossip between them. Her husband, Harry, is clearly trying to sleep and replying softly. She complains about Kay and wonders why Lori takes her places with them. As Harry tries to say he doesn't know either, Jane tells him to be quiet because she's trying to watch the show on TV. He apologizes.
I think she's watching it's like She Freak.
Yeah, she notes that this is intellectual. She notes that what's on TV is intellectually stimulating, and we cut back to it, and again, it's more carnival stock footage, like something out of She Freak.
Yeah. It's just, it's kind of like footage of maybe like a roller coaster.
Yeah.
Which I had a videotape when I was a kid that was like, just like POVs of being on a roller coaster.
Yeah.
And you would just watch it, and I was like, I don't want to be on a roller coaster. This is the safe way to do it. And to this day, I won't ride them, but you know, I'll pull that tape out every now and then just to get a thrill.
We then fade into a fantasy scene where Jane is in her lingerie covered in makeup and glitter. She's surrounded by three men in banana hammocks who quickly de-hammock their bananas. Mm-hmm. And then we see one bend over and grab his own cock and suck the end of it. As the camera moves and he moves, we eventually see that it's Ron Jeremy.
Yeah. I realized it was him right away. I know him anywhere.
Yeah. So Ron sits on the ground and we see him do a little bit more self-sucking. Mm-hmm. And then watch Jane sucking on the other two guys' cocks.
All this is happening to the traditional like carnival music.
Yes.
The do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, you know, that kind of stuff.
We see the face of one of the guys, which is Dave Ruby, who we see enjoying himself as he's getting blown. Dave comes on Jane's face, and then we see her being fucked missionary on the floor. Ron continues to self-suck away. Quite impressively.
Yeah, he should have to live this way.
Yes.
Yeah.
This should be part of the court rulings against him.
Part of his sentencing. I was telling my partner, and they're like, "Oh, Ron Jeremy can do that," and I was like, "In 1979, yes."
Yeah. The guy fucking Jane pulls out and comes on her pubes and garter belt, and she reaches over and rubs his tip. We then see Ron fucking Jane doggy style, and he really pounds away for a minute before pulling out and coming on her ass, rubbing his hog between her cheeks a bit. We fade back into reality, and Harry is kissing Jane's cheek.
Mm-hmm. And as we fade away, she is smiling and just pretty much soaked in sweat and cum.
Yes.
She's
living the dream.
Yeah, she got fucked. Those clowns fucked the shit out of her.
As we fade back into reality, Harry's kissing Jane's cheek. She tells him, "Not tonight, she's not in the mood." Harry says she's never in the mood. We then cut to Kay at home, reading, as her husband, Jerry, played by Michael Gaunt, glares at her and asks if she had a nice day. She says not especially. He asks what she's doing tomorrow, and she asks why he wants to know. He tells her she's always out doing something and asks why she can't just stay at home sometimes. She asks him why, and he tells her no reason, and he decides to slink off to bed. During all of this conversation, Kay's eyes never leave the book she's reading. But then, as he leaves the room, she opens another smaller book, a book of filth.
Ah, excellent.
She starts reading a story about a brothel and one hot day in which it was the narrator's turn to rule the roost, as she says. We fade into the brothel and see the ladies all fanning themselves and masturbating. Mm-hmm. Except for one lady who is playing piano throughout this.
Yeah.
We get a bunch of close-ups of vaginas as the ladies are playing with themselves, including, but certainly not limited to, Kay. Mm-hmm. After a bit, we see two ladies start to go down on Kay.
One of these ladies is Marlene Willoughby.
Yes. The other is Barbara Daniels.
All right. Less familiar with her work.
Yes.
Marlene, I would know anywhere. And she has long green nails in this that scare me when she's masturbating, yes. Just like last week's film.
Yeah. So the piano player stares across the room, licking her lips and playing with herself. The piano's still playing, but it's clear she's not actually playing it at this point.
No, she's playing one-handed.
She has a hand talented. On the piano. I don't believe it.
She is one of the generations. It's a, you know, boss, it's in a book, okay?
Yeah, that's a good point. It is in a book.
Take a look. It's in a book. You fucking rainbow.
The ladies continue to pleasure Kay, and she sinks down from the chair that she was in and lays on the floor. The ladies caress Kay a bit, and then one rides her tongue a bit, straddling her face. We see the women on the floor caressing each other. This is all interrupted as Jerry asks her if she's okay. She tells him not to worry because she was just having a nightmare. He tries to comfort her, but she tells him to go back to sleep and brushes him off. We then cut to Leslie's bedroom.
She's covered in toys.
Yes, she has lights, a lot of dolls and stuffed animals. And she's wearing this nightgown that's like long sleeve and long mm-hmm. pants and like high neck and everything.
The British manner.
Her husband, Raymond, played by Alan Adrian, asks why she hangs out with those three women all the time, and Leslie tells him that they're her best friends, the best friends a girl could have. She notes that she's trying on this cold cream that she's putting on because Lori told her about it. Raymond says, well, if Lori told you about it, it must be sabotage. It must eat skin or something. He tells her that she could have waited for later to put the cream on, and also notes that he wishes she wore something else to bed, like maybe nothing. Leslie tells him that they don't want to have any more kids, so Raymond just gets mad and storms off.
Raymond's picked a bad wife.
Yes, for his needs especially.
Yeah, I don't know what he was thinking.
We then cut to Raymond in the bathroom. He's looking through a magazine, which we soon see appears to be a BDSM catalog, mm-hmm. and he's stroking his cock as he looks through various harnesses and cock cages and such that are advertised. Leslie yells through the door at him, asking if he's all right, and notes that he's being quiet in there. He coughs to try to placate her, and she starts talking about how she used to sing to him at night, and she sings him another off-key tune for a few seconds before telling him goodnight again. We then fade into Raymond's fantasy, where clothespins are being placed on his nipples.
Mm-hmm. You're getting some CBT here.
Yes, and we're also getting some Iggy Pop.
We certainly are.
Sister Midnight.
Yeah.
Which was a song I wasn't familiar with, but quickly looked up and found.
Yeah, good. I'm glad you looked into it. I knew it immediately. I was like, oh. There they go again.
Yeah.
I think it might have been in Her Name Was Lisa, where he also just like lifted some craft work.
Yeah, yeah.
I think. Roger Watkins, the genius.
Yes. We see that his cock is already tied up, and Leslie is whipping his belly and chest with a belt and wraps it around his neck for a moment before slapping him around with it a bit more. We then cut to Raymond hogtied on the floor. Leslie's face is painted silver as well.
Yeah.
She calls him her slave and asks if he's comfortable. He says he's not. She makes him beg for her to untie him, and then decides that instead he should be telling her that he is comfortable. She notes that there's not much to do with him. He can't even untie himself, and she suggests that she should just let him lay there and be eaten by rats or have cockroaches crawl onto his balls and other degrading things.
Hell yeah. All to the pleasant strains of Iggy Pop.
Yes. She eventually storms off, leaving him there on the floor. We then fade back into reality.
That was pretty good. You don't see many male bondage scenes. So
yeah,
it's nice
it was pretty cool.
It's a little short, but, you know, it was effective.
Yeah, it was a nice taste of a kink, even if it didn't go all the way with it, really.
Yeah.
But we see Raymond stick his head out of the bathroom and ask Leslie, "Have you ever wanted?" "Yes, Raymond," she replies. "Haven't you ever wanted to?" "Yes, Raymond," she replies. "Haven't you ever wanted to do something dirty?" "Oh, Raymond, you're such a kidder." Leslie then tells him to make sure that his throw-up goes down when he flushes the toilet. We then see the four husbands together at a bus stop. Raymond's pacing back and forth. They tell him to sit down and point out the woman across the tracks from them on a bench. It's Vanessa Del Rio, who is credited in this film as the seductress.
Mm-hmm.
Raymond says that he doesn't indulge in fantasies. He says they drain the life fluids. Bert asks, "What life fluids?" Raymond says, "The ones important to life." Jerry asks if he's kidding, but Bert says, "I don't think he's kidding." Raymond assures them he's 100% serious.
Oh, God. This will be a tough guy to work with.
Yeah. Jerry is staring across the tracks at the seductress, and then we fade into his fantasy, where he and Vanessa Del Rio are in bed with each other. The seductress is stroking his cock and then starts to lick and suck it. We then see the seductress riding Jerry's cock reverse cowgirl. Eventually, she's grinding against his cock as he comes and smears his cum on her labia and clit. Back in reality, Jerry smiles as he's looking over at her. And then we pan over to Harry, who's staring at the seductress as well, and we fade in on his fantasy.
Wow.
There we see that she's laying on a counter in the kitchen as Harry walks in and grabs a beer. He takes a drink and just watches as she's playing with herself on the counter. He eventually steps in, massaging her breasts and tweaking her nipples. This continues for a couple of minutes with her just playing with herself and him playing with her breasts. And then we see Harry laying on the counter as the seductress sucks his cock and licks his balls. And after a minute, she strokes a load out of his cock and continues to suck and stroke it for a bit longer. We then fade back into reality, where Bert is now looking at the seductress and winking at her.
Going one by one down the line.
Yes. They've
really got their money's worth out of Vanessa Del Rio in this film.
They sure did. We fade into Bert's fantasy, where Bert is a teacher and the seductress is a student. He's pointing at a chalkboard with a bird and a bee on it. And he is apparently teaching her about the birds and bees. But yeah, she's not quite getting it at first. She seems confused, and so he points at her crotch. She still seems confused, so he pulls out his cock and points at it. She seems to quickly figure some things out as she grabs his cock and starts to suck it.
Yeah, I still don't know which one's the bird or the bee.
No.
That will probably never be clear to me. And I've just made peace with it.
We see Bert unbuttoning the seductress's shirt and rubbing her breasts and pulling aside her panties to stimulate her clit and finger her. We see the seductress sucking Bert's cock more, and then he pushes her back onto the ground and slips off her panties. Bert goes down on the seductress, and we get a close-up of one of her eyes as she's enjoying this.
Mm-hmm.
And a close-up of her vagina as well, as it's kind of pulsating.
Hmm.
We then see the seductress riding Bert's cock cowgirl on the floor. After a minute, she pulls his cock out and strokes him until he comes on her bush. We then fade back into reality and see Raymond looking at the seductress, who of course doesn't indulge in fantasies because it drains the life fluid.
Yeah. Life fluids.
But indeed, we fade in on his fantasy, where we see the seductress dressed glamorously at a table. We then fade in on them in the same positions, but naked. Except, of course, the seductress still has one of her fancy gloves on with some jewelry. Raymond sits next to the seductress, and she starts to stroke his cock a bit. And then we see him laying down with the seductress sucking his cock, one of her hands still with the glove as she's rubbing his cock. We then see the seductress mount Raymond cowgirl and ride his cock. He then mounts her missionary and fucks her a bit before pulling out and having his cock stroked until he comes on her stomach.
Yeah.
I was really hoping this was going to be another, like, femdom scene.
Me too. I was expecting that from the tone of his fantasy earlier. Missed opportunity.
Yeah. Especially with Vanessa Del Rio. She's great at that.
Yeah, she's great. She'll hit you really hard, probably.
Yes. Just, it makes me think of, well, her name was Lisa.
Yeah, she was,
they got that rich guy.
Yeah, they got that rich guy. They got, like, revenge on him.
And then she got Lisa on the horse.
Yeah.
And
that was a wrap for Lisa.
Yeah.
if you didn't listen to that one, she dies.
Yes, but we got to hear that song, Don't Let Go.
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty cool.
There's always some great songs in a Vanessa, in a...
Roger Watkins film. That he definitely didn't pay for.
Yeah. That's what makes him a hero to me.
Yes. So we cut to the ladies now. They're having a meal together and chatting. The waiter comes up and asks if they need anything else, and Lori gets upset with them and tells them that they're fine. Kay tells Lori he was just doing his job, but then Jane mentions that, well, he should have chilled their glasses. Lori says, see? Leslie tries to calm them down to no avail as Lori and Kay are arguing. Kay wants an apology, and Lori tells her that she's not getting one and says it's time to go to the theater anyway.
Yeah, this is Andy Milligan's Sex in the City.
Yeah. Yes. Leslie says, well, there's been an accident. She's forgotten the tickets. Lori tells her, they're probably somewhere in your purse, but Leslie says that she has the wrong purse. Lori gets pissed off and tells Leslie to get lost, telling her that she doesn't amuse her anymore. Lori then demands that the waiter bring her more Perrier, and then the ladies will be off to the spa. So then we cut to the ladies on stationary bikes at the spa, which looks like somebody's basement with wood paneling.
Mm-hmm.
Lori notes that a healthy body leads to a healthy mind. They look across the room at the other people working out in this gym.
It's like a mixture of people from the earlier in the film.
Yes. We get some shots of the ladies as they're pedaling and Flight of the Valkyrie starts playing.
Mm-hmm.
We then see reality fade as the ladies look across the room to see the people who are working out as if they're naked. And then we see the people's naked bodies in full body paint. Our pink ladies join these painted folks for some fuckery. A lady painted yellow rides a blue man. The ladies join in other configurations, but we soon cut to Leslie walking down the sidewalk sadly.
Quick note, since we talked about the subtitles earlier.
Yeah.
They do credit Ride of the Valkyries to Wilhelm Wagner. Which is not his name.
Oh, okay.
So if the subtitle guy for Vinegar Syndrome listens to this, it's too late to fix this, but in the future, it's Richard.
So Leslie stops to look at a pond from a bridge. She wipes tears from her eyes and throws a stone in the water and then stares down at a basket that's floating there. We then cut back to the other ladies. Jane and Lori are making out and playing with each other. Kay is with a man painted orange and a lady who's painted red. There's a green woman and a man painted red who are together. We get a lot of close-up penetration shots, making it hard to see who's with who.
Yeah.
Lori's getting fucked doggy style by Ron Jeremy, who's painted blue here.
He was a little blue earlier, too, I think.
Oh, yeah. I think he might have been... I think earlier he might have been kind of... I know his hair was painted silver.
Yeah, I think he had some blue on his face. And also he blew himself.
Oh, yeah. This paint is probably toxic, and I wonder if that's why Ron Jeremy's brain doesn't work.
Yeah, it corroded him. It did it to all these people.
Kay is riding the guy painted red cowgirl. We see some shots of the ladies naked in a swimming pool,
mm-hmm.
with some of these painted people there as well, and it looks like their paint is like clouding up the swimming pool.
It certainly would.
We get some more genital close-ups, more sucking and fucking.
I'm really confused
in the gym room.
I'm really confused by this film's third act at this point.
We get a wet shot from the guy painted orange, and also from blue Ron Jeremy.
Uh-huh.
And then we fade back into Lori's face as she's riding the stationary bike. And then we see a shot of a pool with some fake ducks floating sideways in it.
Yeah.
And then we cut to the three ladies returning home.
You know, get some surrealistic fake ducks.
Yes. Lori invites the other ladies in for a drink. Kay suggests that she might go home and make a nice dinner for her husband, but is talked into coming into Lori's house with her. And so the three ladies are shocked when they walk in to find all four husbands fucking Leslie, including Jerry, who comes on her face just as they're walking in.
Yeah.
Bert says, "Oh, shit," and the ladies are shocked, and we freeze frame on their faces, and then get the end on screen.
Wow.
And that was the tale of the pink ladies.
You know, revenge is a dish best served cold to four of your friends' husbands.
Yes. All right, so that was the pink ladies, and that was our cue to take a break.
Okay.
And then we'll be back to give our final thoughts on the Pink Ladies.
Jesus Christ, Lori, don't you get enough exercise playing racquetball?
There's no such thing as too much exercise, right, Lori?
Right. Like I said, a healthy body promotes a healthy mind.
All right, we're back on the Raincoat Report. And it's time once again for...
The Raincoat Review!
This is an odd little film.
Yes.
they're, like last week's feature, some foxes like it hot. You know, I kind of complained about, like, the disjointed nature of things.
Yeah.
Where things didn't quite add up. This film, I would say, has a similar issue.
Okay.
But it's not as bad in this film because there's less setup of anything going on at all.
I would say that there's a pretty straightforward linear plot to it. There's a lot of distractions to all of the fantasy scenes.
Right, right.
But, like, what happens
it makes sense, but there's no real... It's just not developed at all. It's just, like, a straight line that we're on. It's
sure.
It's like a rail shooter or a roller coaster. You want to bring it back?
Fair enough.
And it's fine. Like, it's definitely not as... I don't think it's as unfocused as... last week's film. It's definitely a something to behold. It is like kind of like a long series of people's fantasies.
Yeah.
Men and women, husbands and wives. It was not what I was expecting going in, though.
Sure, sure.
I had certainly expected maybe more of like a straightforward kind of like a rom-com sort of situation, maybe.
Right, right.
But that's not what we get. What we get is a look into the inner lives of some terrible people. who all seem to hate each other a lot. It's kind of baffling in its way. There's not a whole lot to work with, like characterization wise or anything. All the women are awful and hate Leslie.
Yeah.
All the men are kind of just sexless cucks.
Yeah.
It seems like, more or less.
Yeah, yeah.
They're getting cucked by their fantasies. Maybe it's just about like the desperation of the middle class lifestyle.
Perhaps.
There's something deeper there. And I'm close to getting to the core of it. But this film certainly doesn't aid you very much in trying to find that.
No, no.
That said, I did enjoy it. There's some very interesting and fetishy, even creative sex acts. I haven't.
Yeah.
We haven't seen someone blow themselves before, as far as I can remember.
No.
Not to my knowledge. Maybe it's happening in the background of like an orgy, but you know, those are hard to track.
Right. Right.
I've certainly not seen a man get tied up and have his balls whacked with a mallet.
No, not yet.
Not yet. Something similar happened, though. An old Iggy Pop.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so if this film has nothing else, it does have style, which Roger Watkins is kind of like a sort of a master of.
Yeah, yeah.
He gets good shots. Everything looks very... Everything looks very nice. You get a lot of Vanessa Del Rio.
Yeah, yeah. She's the MVP of the show.
She sure is. She takes one for the team.
Yeah, she takes four for the team.
Oh, yeah. she's probably the highest paid person on this.
I hope so.
She earned it. It's a little hazy and a little rushed because it is only an hour and 17 minutes.
Yeah.
So I think that there is some stuff that could have been developed a little bit better, but I don't know how much that would have helped it overall.
Right.
But I like when people are terrible to each other. It makes me laugh. And for that, I would give it 3 stars.
Yeah, I enjoyed this movie. It's certainly not something that stands out a whole lot from the crowd, but what I will say is that Roger Watkins' style leads itself to this film that is largely consistent of a bunch of fantasy scenes. He does his stylish thing, and that works a lot for dreamy sequences. Mm-hmm. And it's a nice variety of types of sex scenes, so that's cool. I initially thought that, like, when this started, Kay was the bitchiest one of the group, and I thought, oh, okay, it's Kay who's kind of a pain in the ass, and everybody else is cool. But it clearly turns out that all of them kind of suck. Yeah. Leslie sucks the least because she's less mean.
Yeah,
she's just the punching bag of the group.
As a person, though, she's kind of... No, I don't think you spend a lot of time with her. She won't
tie up her husband and beat his balls like he needs it.
No, yeah. And she can't sing.
No, she cannot.
She'll just... she beefs the loudest.
She does beef the loudest.
So I think the real lesson of this movie is...
She who beefs last beefs loudest.
Yeah. That's I can smell that lesson from here.
I'm going to say that I like this movie. It's not fantastic. I don't like it as much as the other Roger Watkins films that we've watched.
Sure, sure.
There's less substance to it.
That's, I think, my main complaint to it is that since you spend so much time in the fantasies, there's not any like real substance to like what does happen outside.
Right.
And it's fine to spend the whole film like in flashbacks or fantasies, but usually those are more connected somehow.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But I will say that the style of everything and the variety of sex scenes helps it make this a movie that I thought was good, but not great. I'm going to also give it 3 stars.
It deserves at least 3 stars from everyone who sees it.
Yes.
And what else can you say about the Pink Ladies? Why were they called the Pink Ladies? I don't know.
Because they were supposed to all be painted pink in that last scene, but they refused to.
Oh. Leslie wasn't painted pink.
No.
Leslie was just getting done dirty on a...
She was getting painted white at home.
Yeah. Yeah, she was. Just getting put away in the den. The television room.
Follow us on Instagram and Twitter or X or whatever, or also Threads at Raincoat Report.
Yes.
Raincoatreport@gmail.com. Follow us on Patreon for $5 a month. You get 2 bonus episodes. And this Friday, we're taking our 42nd Street dive and talking about some movies we've watched recently. And there's a lot of weird stuff to talk about.
I've been watching films.
You have been watching films.
I've been appreciating them.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. I watched them with a keen, interested eye.
Excellent.
Not like the films on this show.
Rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast. And
Gonna beef one out. Don't forget your raincoat.
If you're going to go to JCPenney's and sit on the bucket for a while, don't forget your raincoat.
Forgot about my bucket.
Never forget about your bucket.
Okay.
Oh, shit.